As you might know, there are plenty of odd phrases and words in the Church of England. You will hear about episcopates, and acolytes, and quinquennes, propitiation for sin, forgotten, not made, things like that. Oh, and of course, the all-time family favourite, which we'll be using later on, and also with you. Now, as a proud member of the Anglican refugee community here, I don't tend to think about these words very often. But today it all comes rushing back, because today is Palm Sunday, and there is this little bit of Church of England oddness which is associated with Palm Sunday. See, on Palm Sunday, all good Anglicans will be processing into their church. They'll be clutching their little palm cross, making a general nuisance of themselves in the public. And the official guidance they will be given will be to process in solemn gladness. Solemn gladness, whatever that means. So what I want to talk about today is procession and a bit of oddness. That's where we're going. So if you're going to take Mark's Gospel at face value, as God's food, right, then you would have to say there was a successful... Oh, what's the word I want? Now I'm stuck. Because this word's... Some words are critical. Triumphal. You would have to say there was a triumphal procession into Jerusalem. You couldn't really deny it. People shouting and screaming and waving and all that sort of thing. And there were people there, all over Israel, really looking for this kind of thing, looking for something triumphal, looking for someone that they could label as Messiah. Now, Messiah means anointed one. It means you've been picked out and you're special. The kings of Israel were anointed. They weren't the only ones that were anointed, but the kings were anointed. And so the assumption was that the anointed one would be a king, or become a king. I mean, it's certainly reasonable. Jerusalem is the seat of the kings, it's where the royal palaces are. It's also where the temple is. So you can sort of see there's a bit of logic to all this, that the Messiah would be someone that would be leading the kingdom. He'd be a king. You'd want him to be a king, basically, wouldn't you? So, there's this guy who's been floating around in Galilee for a couple of years, performing miracles and doing wonderful things, healing people, teaching people, stirring up the crowd and things like that. And, you know, maybe he fits the bill. Maybe he's the boy. Perhaps this Jesus of Nazareth really is the Messiah. And, you know, he talks an awful lot about the kingdom. Just have a listen to this.
After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.
And again this.
And he said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power.
And there's this.
And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell.
And then there's this.
When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
And finally, there's this.
When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
So you can see where these guys are coming from, can't you? I mean, things are starting to stack up. It sort of makes sense. This guy, Jesus, Well, he's obviously the anointed one. He's obviously the Messiah. And he's coming to Jerusalem in the biggest religious festival. Well, he's obviously coming to announce that he's the Messiah. He's obviously going to come in and take over. He's obviously going to sort everything out. There's going to be some serious Roman butt kicking. Everything's going to be fixed. Israel's going to be restored back to its former glory. And the whole world's going to be tickety-boo, baby. Seven. Jesus told people this. Told all his disciples. Told anyone that would listen. Because, see, Jesus is the Messiah. The Messiah. Not their Messiah. And when you start to look at this, scratch down under the surface of it, you find that things are a little odd. See, if you really were going to be their Messiah and you wanted to come into Jerusalem and take over, well, I imagine you might want to make a bit of an impression. You might be riding on a war horse, something muscular and beefy, standing about, say, I don't know, 15 hands tall. You might be wearing some armor, carrying a sword. You might have a retinue of soldiers of an army camped outside. You'd probably process in great glory right down to the temple, and you'd make a big show of it, and there would probably be some kind of service, some kind of do at the temple, probably involve some kind of sacrifice, maybe a bull, and then after that there would be a fantastic banquet to celebrate. And of course, the people that were leading at the time, the people that were already in charge, well, they'd all have to leave, wouldn't they? None of that in Mark's Gospel. None of that in Mark's Gospel at all. So what's going on? Did Jesus slip up? Did he leave things too late? When he went to Bethany and went to Horses R Us, did the guy that rents out horses lean over the camera? Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah, no, the last war horse went out on Tuesday. Yeah, no, I can give you a good deal on this donkey. He's ever friendly. He loves apples. See, Mark makes a big point on how Jesus got this donkey. He bends over backwards to explain how this donkey comes into Jesus' possession. Nah. It's organized. Nah. And there's no reason to believe that the rest of everything that went on wasn't as organized. Nah. After all, Jesus is doing what God wants him to do. Jesus is following God's plan. And God does not make mistakes. In fact, Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey which is probably no more than 3 years old, no more than 7 hands high, riding on some old cloaks. He's actually fulfilling a prophecy.
This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
He's fulfilling a prophecy. He's doing what God wants him to do. And it's very, very clever. It's revolutionary. It's subversive. He's actually mimicking coming into Jerusalem as a king. As soon as Jesus is announced as being Messiah, he is in trouble. He is in danger. And he knows it. And this is a very clever maneuver. Because the guys that are lining the street, shouting and screaming, waving their arms and bellowing, like Chris would be at a rugby match, about rugby, or Sue at a Robbie Williams concert. They sort of get their Messiah. They sort of don't. And the Romans, do they care? No. It's just another loopy Jew and a donkey. Herod, the current king, does he care? No. He didn't bring any soldiers with him. He's still well in with the Romans. That's a man, does he? But the ruling religious elite, the Sanhedrin, do they care?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they care immensely. And they want him stopped. Stopped at any cost. But Jesus outwits them. Because this is a quick act. This happens very fast. And Jesus gets down to the temple. He basically looks around. And he leaves and goes back to Bethany. Before the Sanhedrin really know what's going on, Jesus is back home by the campsite, by the fireside, munching on his sandwiches. And there's not a damn thing they can do about it. Absolutely incredible. But Mark a way of sort of sugarcoating all this. Because it's not. It's all portrayed a bit CBBC. It's all free the watermark. You know, it's there's a much more serious edge to this. And we need the icy blast of Isaiah to sort of bring things back into reality. Because as the week progresses, faces will be turned to flint. Faces will be spat upon. The one who has the tutored ear will face his accusers. And they will face him back. Beards will be pulled. And a back will be turned to the lash. But God is standing with him. And so who can really accuse him? He has not been rebellious. He has not been disobedient. And he will not be put to shame. But you know how this goes. And today is not about that. Today is about being switched on. Today is about being in the moment. About being able to see what's really happening. And not what you would like to be happening. Today is about being switched on. Okay, Dave, well that's great. Thanks for the history lesson. But how does that help me now, today, in your future? Well, the answer to that is in this crazy little twisted piece of information. Which has travelled 3,000 odd miles to be with you here today. And in so doing, has benefited a small community in Tanzania. And they will take that benefit, convert it into schools, hospitals, doctors, nurses and teachers, and hope. And that's what this means to them. Hope. This symbol, which should be the symbol of a terrible, awful death and a shameful end, actually, the symbol of a fantastic victory. A symbol that brings hope for anyone at all times and forever. So, when you go home today with your palm cross, don't put it somewhere where people can't see it. Don't hide it in a drawer. Place it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Place it somewhere where other people might see it, particularly people that might talk to you about it. Use this as a memory to focus your mind on being revolutionary and subversive. To focus your mind on being in the moment, doing something, whatever it may be. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Doesn't need to be a small thing. So right now, I'm going to finish by doing something a little revolutionary myself. Not too crazy. It's Church of England after all said and done. I'm going to hold my cross up. I'm going to just gently modify the traditional pilgrim greeting that you hear this time of year. And I'm going to point it all at you. Blessed are they who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Okay.